We're continuing the Shir on the Kutei Halachos, Evan Ezer, Hilchas Yibum, Halacha Gimel, paragraph Chof Beis. Rav Nilson Zal's in the middle of a discussion on the topic of Purim, and this entire halacha is based on chapter 57 in Likutei Moran, which discusses a number of major topics. V'zeh b'chinas kriyas ha-toyroh u'kriyas ha-megillah. Shetiknu Chachamenu Zal. Based on what we've been learning till now, we'll be able to understand why our rabbis made a law that we read the Torah publicly and also we read the Megillah publicly on Purim. Kalidei Hakriyo Mesiache Torah Shebalpe im Torah Shebichsav. Because by reading it the way we do, by reciting the Torah publicly, we are uniting the oral Torah and the written Torah. And Rav Nosson Zal explains, Ki hakriyo hi bebechinas Torah shebal peh. Because the one who's reciting the words, he represents the oral Torah. Why? Ki yesh eim lemikra v'yesh eim lamasoiris. We know that throughout the Torah, there are different words which are written one way, and when you read them, when you recite it differently. This is called Masoris. Mikra is the way that it's read, and Masoris is the way that it's been given, or the tradition is for it to be written. Ukishekoirin batoira, when the Balkore, when the one who's reading the Torah reads it, Koirin kefi horoy al pi eim hamikra, he follows what our rabbis have taught us, how that word should be recited. Veloy kefi hakosuv, not the way it's written in the Sefer Torah. Shehu eim lamasoiris, which the Gemara refers to as the tradition. Nimtza, we see therefore, that every time such a thing comes up, we are displaying our faith in the rabbis. Ki onu maminim, we believe, she'afal pi shekosu b'Torah kach, that even though in the Sefer Torah it says this word, afal pi kein yesh koyach l'chachomim l'shanoi sakriya kefi ma shekiblu. The rabbis have the authority to change it, to tell us, don't read what it says there, read, substitute a different word for it according to what they received in their traditions from their rabbi who received it from that rabbi who received it from Moshe Rabbeinu. You have this in a number of places. Nimtza, we see therefore, shal yidei akriya batoira, that by reading the Torah publicly like this, Misyached Yachad Torah Shebichsav, we're bringing together, we're uniting the written Torah, Shehu Ksav HaTorah She'onu Koirim Boi, which is the actual physical Sefer Torah, the parchment with the words on it from which we're reading, that's the written Torah, Im Torah Shebal Peh, together with the oral Torah, Shehu Bechina Sakriya, which is what tells us how to read it. Even though usually there's a halacha, for example, a balkore, if he reads the Torah and he does not look at the words inside, he knows it by heart. What do I have to look inside? I can look in the air and keep reading. He does not get credit. They're not credited with the mitzvah of reading the Torah. And yet, there are maybe 10 or 15 different words in the Torah where the word in the Sefer Torah appears, X, and the Balkora reads it, why? He reads it as if there were a different word there. Because this is the tradition that we have from our Chachamim, the Kri and the Ksiv. The way you read it is different from the way it's written. So we see that every time this mitzvah is performed, it's actually combining the written Torah and the oral Torah. V'alkein ikar kriya satoiru hu b'shabbos. And that's why the main Torah reading is on Shabbos. That's when we read the entire parsha. She'oz marbin bekriyas haTorah yoyse mikol yomim. That's when we read more than we do all other days, than on Monday or Thursday or Rosh Chodesh. Ki ikar tikkun emunas chachamim hu b'Shabbos kanal. Because we learned earlier in this halacha and throughout that chapter on the Likutei Moharan that the day which is most suitable for repairing the emunas chachamim is Shabbos. V'zeh b'chinas kriyas ha-megillah b'tzibur, and this is also why we recite the Megillah on Purim publicly, kedei lefarsem toikev hanes, in order to publicize the significance of the miracle, the great power of the miracle, shehu b'chinas sholom, which we learned in the previous year is all about peace, al yedei kriyas ha-megillah b'peh. And how do we publicize it? By reciting the Megillah verbally, b'chinas sholom sheyesh loy peh. This represents the highest degree of peace, where the people are talking to each other. It's not that they're not, like we mentioned earlier, there's a peace without a mouth, where people are at peace. They're not killing each other. They're not beating each other up. They don't yell or scream at each other. That's one kind of peace, but they don't talk to each other either. And then there's sholom sheyesh loy peh. There's a piece that has a mouth to it, as we learned earlier. Bebechinas, as it says in Megillas Esther, v'doiver sholom l'chol zaroi, that Mordechai spoke peace to all of his, to all of Klal Yisrael, to the entire Jewish people. Paragraph Chav Gimel, v'yidei bechinas sholom sheyesh loy peh, zoichen lebechinas matzah. And Rabbeinu Zal showed over there in Likutei Moharan in chapter 57 that when we establish this higher form of peace, this peace with the mouth, we're zoche to matzah, kimavur heite b'maymer hanal, as Rabbeinu Zal explains very thoroughly over there in Likutei Moharan. Rabbeinu Zal quotes two gemaras. There's a gemara that says, ein bein chometz lematzah, Elamashehu Bilvad. The only difference between chametz and matzah is a tiny drop. With a tiny drop, you can take matzah and mess it up, make it chametz stick. If you leave it standing a little longer than you're supposed to, all the different laws. And we know also chametz is one of the rare things which, if the tiniest drop falls into a pot of Pesach food, it destroys it. It's not a matter if there's 60 times as much or even if there's 1,000 times as much, it doesn't help. Chametz is b'mashehu. And the word mashehu, Rabbeinu Zal shows over there in Likutei Moharan, makes up the first letters of the pasuk, v'hoya maise hatzdoko sholom. The result of charity is peace. We spoke about this in the previous year, that there's regular peace, but in order to achieve, which one achieves by eating properly, by fasting, or by eating Achila Shabbos, but that's a piece which does not yet have a mouth to it, speech. But then there's a higher level of peace, Sholom Sheyesh Loy Peh, which in order to achieve that, you need the proper eating plus charity, plus tzedakah. V'hoya Maisa HaTzedakah Sholom, the first letters of that pasuk spells the word Mashehu. And the mashehu, we said again, was the difference between chametz and matzah. And Rabbeinu Zal over there in Likutei Moharan puts these things together. V'zeh b'chinas mashekos of Rabbeinu Zal b'mokam achar b'likutei tanino. And this is also related to what Rabbeinu Zal writes in chapter 74 in the second half of Likutei Moharan. Shepurim hu hachono lepesach. That the holiday of Purim is a preparation for Pesach. Shalidei Purim nishmorin mimashehu chametz v'zoichen lematzah. By a person fulfilling the mitzvahs of Purim the right way, Hashem will protect them from even the tiniest violation of a mashehu of chametz on Pesach, and the person will be zoiche to matzah. Rav Nosson Zal says, Kalidei sholom sheyesh loy peh shezoichen bepurim, because through this higher level peace, which has a mouth to it, which we're zeicha to on Purim, through the Suda of Purim, the holy eating that we do on Purim, which we mentioned in the previous year, is like Oneg Shabbos, through that, we're zoche to that higher level shalom, shezeu bechinas matzah. That's associated with matzah, bechinas ein bein chometz lamatzah elamashu. The only difference between chometz and matzah is a drop. And the Meforshim tell us also, if you look at the words, chometz and matzah, both of them have a tzaddik in it, both of them have a mem in it, one has a ches and one has a hey. If you take a look at a ches in a Sefer Torah and a hey, the difference between them is a tiny, tiny drop of ink. That the hey, the leg on the left side, is not connected to the roof. If you just connect, you put a little droplet of ink to connect that leg to the roof, you have a ches. That's this mashehu. Al yodo zoichin li zoher bepesach mechometz. So through this proper eating that was zoichet to on Purim, the suda of Purim, and we spoke about the tzedakah that we give on Purim. So we have this great combination. We have the achila degdusha and the tzedakah, which leads to shalom and shalom shiesh loyper. Through this, we're zoichet to be protected on the holiday of Pesach from any chametz v'liskois lamatzah, and to be zoichet to matzah. Ayin shom heitev. Look over there in Likut Imran, chapter 74 and chapter 57 well, and you'll see how all of this fits together beautifully. Paragraph Chav Dalid, V'alkein Zocha Mordechai Lilavush Malchus. This will also explain why we find at the end of the Megillah, when Haman was completely eliminated and the greatness of Mordechai and Esther came to light, it says there that Mordechai dressed in garments of royalty. Mordechai yotza milifnei ha-melech belevush malchus tcheles v'chur utcheles butz v'argomon. Exactly. Kamo shekosov, as the pasuk says, Mordechai yotza milifnei ha-melech belevush malchus tcheles v'chur va'ateres zohav gedolo v'sachrich butz v'argomon ki ze ho'ikar. Because this was the ultimate goal of Purim, to achieve emunas chachamim, shetikein emunas chachamim, shehu bechinas levush malchus, which is referred to as a garment of royalty, bechinas chaluka derabonon. That's the terminology that's used to speak about respect for rabbis, that rabbis have a special garment that they wear, the chaluka derabonon, a long coat that identifies them as being rabbis. Sheshom klulin kol hagavnin Elohim. And in this garment is included all the heavenly colors. Bechinas, as the pasuk says there, levush malchus, tcheles, vachur, vateres zohov. It describes all different types of beauty. V'sachrich butz, dechol gavnin ischazim bo. All the different colors, all the different heavenly colors were visible in that garment. Because we know that the rabbis are the ones who expound the Torah using the 13 formulas. And they join together different revelations of Torah from one part of the Torah to the other part of the Torah. And this causes all the heavenly colors to combine together and to merge together. And this forms the rabbinical garment, which is a composite of all the different colors. And this is why the beginning of the miracle of Purim, it started also with royal garments. Sheto'o Haman HaMolek, whereby Haman made a mistake. V'sovar shekvar nivgam chas v'shalom halavush malchus chaluk d'rabbonan alal. He thought that the royal garments, the rabbinical garments, the emunas chachomim, was so messed up. At sheyuchal chas v'shalom lahamshich elov halavush malchus chas shalom. To the point where Haman thought that he could take the royal garments of Hashem, and take it to himself. V'alkein Omar Haman Baliboy, and this is why Haman thought to himself, when Achashverosh said, "Who is really worthy of wearing the royal garments?" What did Haman think? Lemi yachboit samelech lo seis yikor yos meni. Who in the world would Achashverosh want to give more honor to than to me? I'm the one who deserves all the honor. V'omar, and Haman said, sheyaviu halavush malchus b'shviloi chas v'shalom. That was his proposition. That was what he thought, that it should be brought. He thought to himself, the king must surely mean me. Actually, what the king said was, he said, how do we reward somebody who has shown such incredible loyalty and devotion to the king? So Haman said, who could possibly be more loyal and devoted than me? So he must mean me, and he wants to reward me. I'm going to go for the top of the top. I'm going to ask him to give me his undershirt and his pants and the royal garments. I want to know that I'm right in there. I'm sitting right in his clothes. Avul be'emes to'o. But in reality, Haman made a mistake. And he put hot coals on his own head. He fixed his own wagon. Because there's a pasuk in Yeshaya chapter 42 where Hashem says, my honor I will not give to a stranger, to an outsider. Because it's only through Mordechai and Esther that the tikkun of Emunas Chachamim was accomplished. Bechinas levush malchus, the royal garments. The Gemara says, again, the word malchus, the Gemara says, man malki rabbonon. Who are the kings of the Jewish people? The rabbis. So royal garments belong to the rabbis. V'alkein tzivo hamelech lohovi alvush malchus lahalbish es Mordechai. And that's why Achashverosh immediately gave the order to bring a set of the royal garments and to dress Mordechai in it. Vazai kisheze kom ze noifel. And we know the rule is always that kedusha and tuma are on two opposite sides of a seesaw. When this one goes up, the other one automatically goes down. Kalidei shezocha Mordechai lelvush malchus, as a result of Mordechai atzadik achieving the royal garments, b'chinas tikkun emunas chachamim, the repair of the emunas chachamim, aydeze nofal Haman Amolek. That brought about the downfall of Haman, the descendant of Amolek, Malchus HaRishon, the evil kingdom, sheyenikosoi mipgam emunas chachamim, which draws from any defect or any deficiency in emunas chachamim. And that's why Haman's complete defeat and downfall was on that exact day, where they hung him up on a scaffold that was 50 amos tall, v'chulu, etc. Paragraph Chafei. V'alkein, and this will also explain why the Gemara tells us in Gittin, around page 56, 57, that Mibnei Bonov Shel Haman Lomdu Torah Bibnei Brak. That from the descendants of Haman came forth rabbis who taught Torah to the Jewish people in Bnei Brak. Incredible coincidence. We don't usually throw in personal things. My daughter, Tzipi, is getting married in a week, and the roof, when they call up the Chassan to the Torah, and they throw rocks at him and candies and stuff, is this Shabbos in Bnei Brak. This is the first Shabbos in my life that I'm going to be spending in Bnei Brak, a Shabbos, and we just happened to be learning the page in Likutei Halachos where Rav Nosson Zalman mentions Bnei Brak. Ki mishom hoyo yinikosoi, mipgam emunas chachamim. Because that's where Haman drew his energy from a lack of emunas chachamim, from a weakness in emunas chachamim. Ukishenestake in emunas chachamim al yedei Mordechai, and when Mordechai and Esther and all the tzaddikim at that time repaired the emunas chachamim completely, Azai hela emuna nefula. They lifted up, they elevated the fallen emuna, the damaged emuna. Vazai, and then, nitzoitzei hu emuna, shehoyeloi chiyus misham, the sparks of emuna, from which Haman was drawing from, because they were in the garbage, they were all the way down in the basement, nis'ale l'sharoshoi. Those sparks flew back up to their proper place within the arena of holiness. Vaidezeh nofal Haman. And when Haman's source of spiritual energy was taken away, he had his downfall. Kizeh ikar nefilas haklipos. Because this is how we bring about the downfall of the tumma, the impurity, the klipa. Kishemalin hakedusha l'sharosha. When we take that holiness which they were drawing from, the holiness which had fallen down into the hands of the klipos, the sitrachra, and they plugged into it and they were drawing all kinds of energy from it, when we take it away from them and we lift it up, we send it back up to its original location, way, way up there in holiness, we cut off their supply of life, energy, spiritual life, and they're finished. And that's why Haman had to be hanged on a scaffold that was 50 amos high specifically. Why? Shehu b'chinas neder kanal. We learned earlier, 50 is neder, nun dor, the 50th generation, bina. 50 represents the, neder represents the tikkun for emunas chachamim. Sheshom nistakein emunas chachamim al yidei Mordechai v'Esther. Through neder, the emunas chachamim was repaired completely through Mordechai and Esther. V'shom nis'ale hakedusha. And that's where the holiness that was all the way down in the dumps went up to. Which holiness? Emuna hanafula, the fallen emuna, went up to its source, which is in Bina. The Sifrei Kabbalah always tell us that these two go together, Malchus and Bina, lower Shechina, upper Shechina, the last Hey of Yud Kei Vav Kei and the first Hey. So when the Malchus is elevated, when it's taken out of the Klipa, it's out of the Sitrachra, and elevated, it goes up to connect with Bina. Because this is the main defeat of the other side. And therefore, by us extracting and removing that holiness which Haman was drawing energy from, and that holiness rises up out of the dumps, into the holiness, up the ladder, all the way up, Shubachinas Tikkun Emunas Chachamim, which is the repair for Emunas Chachamim, Alkein Bnei Bonav Lomdu Torah. That's how it was possible for the descendants of Haman to be rabbis, to be teaching Torah. V'dorshu es haTorah b'shloish esrei midos. They expounded the Torah using the 13 formulas. This is the ultimate tikkun of emunas chachamim, because it's always important for us to know. This is a rule that's mentioned throughout Sifrei Kabbalah, throughout Sifrei Chassidus, that there's holiness and there's unholiness, kedusha and tuma. Most people think if we simply increase the holiness, if we get rid of the tuma and increase the holiness, we did it. We won. They don't know that that's step one. That's a major piece of the puzzle. But there's another step that involves finding, searching and finding the holiness that fell into the unholiness, into the impurity, and got mixed up in this, so that there's good and bad. That's called klipas noiga, twilight. It's not light and it's not darkness. It's gray. It's a mixture of good and bad. And the holiness is not considered complete until we seek out those sparks of holiness that are in the mud, that fell into the dirt, into the tumma, and rescue them, extract them. We separate the good from the bad inside the tumma, that klipas noiga, and bring that good into the kedusha. That's when the kedusha is bishleimus. We've given many examples of this in the past. The example of Shnayim Mikra v'Echad Targum. We know that the Torah is Lashon Kodesh. It's a holy language. The languages of the 70 nations of the world is unholy. So there's holy and unholy. But the Torah is not complete until we build a bridge. We have the bridge that goes from Lashon Kodesh to the languages of the 70 nations, which is called Targum, Aramaic. And by using that, by combining two portions, like making a cake, two portions of Lashon Kodesh, one portion of Targum, that gives us the ability to rescue, to take, because Targum is like an in-between language between the languages of the Goyim and Lashon Kodesh. And through that, we extract the good that's found there and integrate it into the Kedusha in order to be Mashlem the Kedusha. Another example is Jews versus non-Jews. The Jewish nation is holy. Vatem tiuli mamleches koyanim v'goy kodosh. The other nations aren't. But we know that the Jewish nation, the Gemara says, one of the main reasons why Hashem sent us into exile is so that Gerim should be able to attach themselves to Klal Yisrael. And again, Gerim represent this noiga, this good and bad. And when they come and join Klal Yisrael, when they get integrated into Klal Yisrael, that's what completes the Kedusha. So again, here we see an example that from Haman is Amalek. Haman is the worst of the worst of the worst that can possibly be. From Haman came forth a sparks of holiness somehow in his descendants and his great-grandchildren that taught Torah to Klal Yisrael and Bnei Brak. Now we know why Bnei Brak is such a busy place. And this is why when the Megillah describes the victory of the Jews at that time, it says, a complete reversal, upside down. That things got turned around 180 degrees completely. Haman's main mission was to destroy the faith in the rabbis. Now let's see where your rabbis are. Adaraba, the exact opposite came out of it. Nahafachu was reversed completely. Vaidei his gabrusoi. And by Haman rising and becoming more powerful and more powerful, nase toikiv hanes shel Purim. This led to the grand finale of Purim. Venistakin alidei ze emunas chachomim beyoser. And the emunas chachomim increased manifold. It rose to new heights. Bechinas levush malchus. We're here again. The rabbis weren't wearing these silly black coats. Mordechai was in technicolor. Mordechai was wearing tcheles vachur aterezo, gold and diamonds. He was bedecked in everything. Lahavt like the rock star, the multicolored garments. Lahavdil. Achafilu mibnei bonov lomdu Torah, to the point where imagine Haman's kids became rabbis. There are stories like this of people, unfortunately, Jewish parents who, unfortunately, the Torah tells us that sometimes when a Jew doesn't know Torah, sometimes they can be worse opposition to a religious person than a non-Jew. Their hate, some of those people, the hate that they have for. So very often, when their kids become, when something happens, someone in their family becomes religious or something, usually the rabbi curses them that the rest of their Jews should become rabbis, that your son should become a rabbi. A rabbi, I'll kill myself, I'll cut myself into pieces, I'll burn the work, nothing worse. Here Hashem took Haman, and he told him, you don't like rabbis, right? There's nothing worse on this earth than rabbis. Guess what? Your grandson's going to be a rabbi. V'alkein ikar binyan abeis hamikdash hasheni, and this is why the main building of the second Beis Hamikdash, Holy Temple, shehu tikun emunas chachamim kanal, which represents major tikun of emunas chachamim. Remember, in the Beis Hamikdash, you had the Sanhedrin Hagdoila. The greatest rabbis of Klal Yisrael sat in the Beis Hamikdash. Hoyo al yidei shenilkecho Esther lebeis hamelech came about through Esther Hamalka being captured, being taken captive and brought into the king's palace, into Ahasuerus's palace. Ki Daryovesh ben Esther tzivol evnoisoi. Who gave the command to build the second Beis Hamikdash? Achashverosh's son, Daryovesh. Ki Haman v'Zaroi rotzu levatel b'nei Beis Mishnah. Because Haman's main desire, his main interest was to block, to eliminate any possibility of building the Beis Hamikdash. V'nishapech, and things got turned around. Haman was so happy, he was willing, we learned before, he was willing to have Vashti killed, even though Vashti was one of the worst marshasses that ever lived. She had the Jewish women working on Shabbos without clothes on. She was torturing, she was destroying the Jewish nation. Haman was willing to get her out of the way in order to capture Esther, capture the flag, capture the tzadeh, the Shechina. Because he knew if he gets Vashti out of the way, they're going to have a beauty pageant. Maybe they'll discover the ultimate beauty of the Jewish nation and bring her into the Sitra Achra. Take the Malchus of Kedusha, Esther Malka, bring her into the Sitra Achra. And when he succeeded, he was the happiest guy on earth, Haman. This was the greatest success that could possibly be. We captured the queen. She's in the Tumah, in the dense of Tumah. What came out of it? As a result of her being in that palace with Ahasuerus, a child was born who gave the green light and helped the Jews rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. V'nishapech v'nivna al yodoi daika. All of his plans boomeranged against him, and the Beis HaMikdash was built with his help, with Haman's help, Haman and Ahasuerus. Al yidei shetzivo la'aroi gizvashti, based on the fact that he gave the instructions, the advice. Haman gave the advice and Ahasuerus executed it to have Vashti killed, Vaydezeh Nilkocha Esther, and through that they grabbed Esther, Vaydezeh Nivne Beis HaMikdash, which ultimately resulted in the building of the Beis HaMikdash, Shehu Tikun Emunas Chachamim, which is one of the greatest forms of repair of the concept of Emunas Chachamim, faith in the rabbis. Paragraph Chavov, V'zeh b'chinas soita, and this is tied into the concept of a woman who associates with a man multiple times, and even after her husband warning her that this is improper behavior, I don't want you talking to him, I don't want you associating with that man, she goes ahead and secludes herself with that man for the period of time that it would take to commit an actual sin, and witnesses see her going into this seclusion. They don't see her performing a physical sinful act, and the husband therefore suspects who knows what she did, and he brings her to the koyan, and the whole procedure of soita. Because this woman has transgressed in the concept of Emunas Chachamim, Be'isha Yiras Hashem. She has taken the holy woman and defiled her, herself, you know. And the holy woman represents Malchus, the Shechina is referred to as Isha Yiras Hashem. And we saw earlier in this halacha, Emunas Chachamim is also Malchus, Isha Yiras Hashem. She allowed herself to follow the advice of the snake, which is Malchus HaRishah, the kingdom of evil, Isha Zayna, the illicit woman. She decided to walk down that path. And this is also why her sin is directly associated with the thigh of Yaakov Avinu that we spoke about a few pages ago, where the angel of Esav was able to harm him over there. Bechinas birki derabonon, The Gemara says that when the knees of the rabbis are knocking, it's because of the shadim that are trying to rub shoulders, rub knees with them. So we see again that it's the legs. The legs, that's the part, that's the place where the sitra achra goes after. Shezeo b'chinas pegam emunas chachamim. This is all tied into the lack of faith in tzaddikim. Emuna is malchus. Emuna is also the legs. V'alkein, and therefore the Torah says, if she actually committed a sin, she's denying it. She's saying she didn't do anything. If she's lying, v'tzav savitna v'nafla yarecha, her stomach will begin to swell up, expand, and her thighs, her legs will fall. Kemuvura b'soif sava mishpatim, as is explained in the Zohar HaKadosh, Parshas Mishpatim, in the section which was taught by the Sava Kadisha. The Zohar HaKadosh says there a very old wise man came to the students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, and he gave them a major, major shiur on the topic of Gilgulim, reincarnations, and marriage, and Yibum, everything, all explained in that section in the Zohar HaKadosh. Ayin Shom, check it out, look it up over there. V'alkein nivdekes b'beis hamikdash daika. And this is why we take this woman and we bring her to the Beis HaMikdash to be tested. Shehu b'chinas neder. We learned earlier that the Beis HaMikdash is all about neder. Remember, Yaakov Avinu made a neder, a vow, when he came to that site. The ladder going up. Vayider Yaakov neder lemor. And Dovra Melech made a neder about that site. That if I will sleep, I will not sleep, I won't rest until Hashem has a house for himself. And we said that the Beis Mikdash was built from Nedarim and Adar, contributions, donations, which are called Nedarim. And in the Beis Mikdash, they were busy with Karbonos, which are called Nedarim and Adavos. So the Beis Mikdash is all about Neder, Sheshom, Nistakein, Emunas Chachomim, Ishiras Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal said over there in Likut Imran that Neder is what repairs and perfects the Emunas Chachamim, the Isha Yiras Hashem. V'alkein tzorich bailo lohavi imo korban. And this is why in the ceremony of Soita, the husband has to bring a korban with her when he brings her to the Beis HaMikdash. Shu b'chinas neder, that's a vow. When a person makes a korban, he says, hare ze this, or hare olai. And this is what helps repair and sort out the Isha Yiras Hashem, the Emunas Chachamim, from the bad woman, from the Isha Zayna. Kishom bebeis hamikdash, sheshom hatikun shel Yiras Hashem, because there in the Beis HaMikdash, where the Isha Yiras Hashem, where the Shechina is repaired, is elevated. U'kishezeh kom, zeh noifel. And the rule is always that when the Shechina is elevated, when the Shechina goes up, the Isha Zoyna goes down. The other woman has a mapola, the woman of the Sitra Achra. V'alkein, and therefore, im eina tohira, if this married woman actually committed a sinful act with the other man, she's not pure, Bevada Yihieloma Polamisham. She will definitely have her downfall from these waters that she's given to drink, Al Yidei HaBeis HaMikdash, through the holiness and the power of the Beis HaMikdash, Al Yidei Neder, Al Yidei B'chinas Tikkun Emunas Chachamim, Yishiras Hashem. Ki Kishezeh Kom, because the rule is again, in the Beis HaMikdash, when a korban is being brought, the Isha Yiras Hashem, the Emunas Chachamim, is being elevated big time. So the other Isha, any woman who switched to the other side, will have her downfall. V'alkein, therefore the Pasuk says, V'tzav sa bitna v'nafla yarecha. Kanal, as we said earlier, V'im hi tohira, whereas the Pasuk goes on to say, if she is pure, V'loy soto darka mishiras Hashem, she did not turn away from the holy woman, from the Shekhina, she is conducting herself in holiness. Azai, then Adaraba, just the opposite. Mikabeles Mishom, Mebchinas, Mibes Hamikdosh, Chius Vetikun Yoiser. She receives from there, from the Beis HaMikdosh, she receives new life, additional life, and a major tikkun. Ki al kol ponim yesh bo eize pigam shebo lidei chshad etzricha tikkun. Because regardless of anything, she did do something wrong in that she allowed herself to get into such a predicament, such a situation, where she is actually suspect of committing such a sin. And then this ends up getting fixed completely in the Beis HaMikdash, neder, which is the concept of neder, Shishom Nistak and Emunas Chachomim Ishiras Hashem. That's where the Emunas Chachomim is prepared. That's where the holy woman, the woman of holiness, is repaired, etc. V'zeh b'chinas, this is what the pasuk goes on to say over there. V'niksa, if she will be found to be pure, clean, v'nizra zora, she will be blessed with children. And the Gemara goes on to say, im hoisei ledes b'tzar, if until now her pregnancies were difficult pregnancies, then from this point on, she's going to have easy pregnancies. Ve'im lo yehoye ledes klal, if she did not have any children up until this point in time, teled me'achshav, she will start giving birth. What's the connection? Because we learned several pages ago, ki ha'hoylodo al yedei ha'sholoim, we had learned earlier, a birth is a display of peace. In order for a birth to take place, you need a husband and you need a wife who are opposites, and you need them to see eye to eye. You need to see them be willing to cooperate, to work together, to be moiled. So a birth is a product of shalom. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, and which is the tikkun of emunas chachamim. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, Ure'ei vonim levonecha shalom al Yisrael. That when you will have children and grandchildren, there'll be peace upon the Jewish people. V'alkein ayidei shenivneko bebeis hamikdosh. And therefore, as a result of this woman being tested in the Beis HaMikdash, utahoirahi, and she was found to be pure, that she did not commit a physical sinful act with that man, v'nistakno emunas chachamim, the emunas chachamim was repaired, b'chinas isha yiras Hashem, ayideze, through this, v'ayideze nistakin hasholoim. This repairs the tikkun of sholoim, u'mishom ikra ha'ilota, and that's how births come about. When there's shalom, there can be births. V'zeh shekosu b'chano. And now you'll understand another interesting point. The Torah tells us that at one point in Shmuel Anavi, there was a woman called Chana, who, during the time of Eli HaKohen, who didn't have any children. She had a sister. Her sister was having kids, and she wasn't. And the Torah, the Navi says there, Vatidor neder l'Hashem. She made a vow to Hashem. Imroi tire ba'oni amosecha. If you will see the pain of your maidservant, V'dorshu Rabbi Seinu Zal, and our rabbis expound, why'd she say it twice? Imroi mutav. Hashem, if you don't see that I'm pure, because what happened was, she was in the Beis HaMikdash, and she was davening to Hashem. She was having a spiritus. And she was moving her lips. Her lips was moving, but there was no sound coming out. Perfectly silent. Because she was doing the silent screaming to Hashem. Screaming her heart out. Eli HaKohen, who was there at the time, saw her and said, "No drunks in here, lady. You don't belong here." She said, "Drunk? Are you kidding? I'm drunk with my pain and suffering. That's what I'm drunk with. I'm not drunk. I'm pouring out my heart to Hashem." And she made a vow. She said, "Imroi tira." She said to Hashem, "If you see that I'm pure, fine. And I'm deserving of kids, fine. V'imlav, and if you don't see, tira, you're going to see. I'll show you. How am I going to show you? Ki astiratzmi b'fnei elkona ishi. I'll go start talking to another man. And my husband will tell me not to, and then I'll go into seclusion with that man, and then he'll have to bring me to the Beis Mishnah, they'll give me the waters to drink, and I'll drink it, and since I didn't commit a sin, I'll be blessed with kids then. So take your pick, Hashem. We can do it the easy way, we can do it the hard way." This is how Chana was negotiating with Hashem. Rabbeinu Zal teaches us in his Sforim that when a person is speaking to Hashem, you have to be able to negotiate. You have to be able to come up with a good argument, a good explanation as to why Hashem should help you. Why should he give you this thing? And again, the tzaddikim know how to back Hashem into the corner. Look what she did. She said, Hashem, we could do this the easy way. All you got to do is snap your fingers and I'll become pregnant. If not, there's always plan B. The Torah says there's another way to do it, to force the issue. Now, not every single person can talk to Hashem like that. She was Chana. She was the tzaddikus of her time. She knew how to be able to say it in a way that it wasn't disrespectful, and yet Hashem would have to say, you win. Rabbeinu Zal has a chapter in Likutei Moharan based on a pasuk in Tehillim, where the pasuk says, Lamanatzeach Mizmor, sing for the one who was defeated. Lamanatzeach means the one who not the netzach is the one who won. Minatzeach is the one who was won over. So the pasuk says Lamanatzeach, sing. So the Gemara says usually when somebody is defeated, he ain't singing. He's pretty angry about it. But Hashem is the exception to the rule. Hashem loves when he gets into an argument with one the tzaddikim or with one of his tzidkaniyot, like with Chana, and he's trying to convince her that she doesn't need kids or anything, and she backs him into the corner, and she forces him to give in. The Gemara says, actually, this word, Zamru, sing. Zamru lamisha menatzchan, I say, sing to the one who is defeated. Zamru lamisha menatzeach, I say, what's the next word? And he's happy about it. V'sameach, and Hashem is happy about it. V'sameach, exactly. Hainu she'omra, Chana said, she'tia soita. If Hashem doesn't help her, if he doesn't give her a baby, she'll become a soita, v'tihi tohira, but again, she will not commit any sinful act with a man, she'll be pure, v'teile behechrech, and then she'll have to give birth. V'alkein higdimo haneder lezeh. And that's why before she made that statement, she preceded it with a vow. Kama shekosu v'tidor neder l'Hashem. She made a vow to Hashem. And then, v'toymer, and then she said, if you see, fine. If you see, good. If you don't see, you will see. Ki ikar tikun hasoita hatohira, while yedea neder daika. Because the main tikun for a woman who is a soita, but is really pure, she didn't commit the sinful act, her tikun comes from the place called neder, which is Bina, which is that high, incredible high level from which the blessing of children comes from all of these high things come from. Paragraph Chav Zayin. V'alkein korbono minchas soirim. And this is why the sacrifice that a soita brings is a mincha from barley, a barley mincha, which is very unusual. In the Beis Hamikdash, they usually used wheat for everything. Barley is called animal food. The Gemara says wheat is for humans, barley is more, it's a lower level. Zebechinas Omer Soirim. This is like the Omer, which was brought on the second day of Pesach, which was also from barley. Shematir Lechol Mitvua Chadosha. The Omer Soirim is what opened the door for us to be allowed to eat the new harvest. Remember? All the new grains, all the different grains that the Jews harvested, when it came the second day of Pesach, they were not allowed to partake from it until that korban, the Omer, was brought from barley. That released the entire new harvest of grain. Now Rav Nosson Zal explains, Ki Omer Soirim. The Omer from barley, the Hebrew word for barley is soirim, and the Hebrew word for measurements is shiurim. Shiurim is measurements. The same exact letters as soirim, shiurim. שזהו בחינס חוכמותתו, בחינס מלכוס, בחינס אמונס חכמים, תורה שבעל פה. This represents מלכוס. Rabbeinu Zal in chapter 30 in Likut Imran speaks about this a lot. The word shiurim means measurements, boundaries. We always talk about the malchus, the sphere of malchus, is the it's the keli, the vessel into which all the spheroids above it, the spheroids above it are light, spiritual light. They all feed into a vessel called malchus, and the Malchus formats it and shapes it and defines all the shiurim, all the measurements and everything, and distributes it to the world. Just like the Arizal says that on the night of Pesach, you have the one conducting the Seder as the three matzahs in front of him, and then he has six other items in front of him. He has the Seder plate, which has six things on it. The Zroa, the Beitza, the Moror, the charoses, the chazeres, and the zroa, the beitza, the moror, the charoses, what was the other thing? Chazeres, there was something we're missing. We'll be reminded, six items. Zroa, beitza, moror, charoses, chazeres, and there's one more. It'll come to us. And so there's six and three, which is nine, corresponding to the 10 spheroids, the 10 midos of Hashem. And the Arizal shows the connection between each one. So the Arizal says, where's the Malchus? The Malchus is the Seder plate, the Kaira. Karpas! The celery, the potatoes, the Shmita. Well, how could we forget? Exactly. So the kaira, the plate, what's the plate? You can't eat no plate. What do you do with the plate? The answer is the plate is nothing, and the plate is everything. Without the plate, you have nothing. Hang it in midair. So the plate is the malchus, which is the shiurin, the asvan, the measurements. That's what puts everything in its place. So the Oymer Soirim Zebchina Shiuron the Asvan Doraisa. That's the concept of the measurements, the boundaries of the letters of the Torah. Shezer Bechinas Chochmotato. That's referred to as Chochmotato, which is Bechinas Malchus, which is Emunas Chachomim, which is Torah Shebal Peh. All of these line up in the same place. Sheheim Dorshines HaTorah B'Shloishes Remidos, because it's the rabbis who are the ones who expound and explain the Torah using those 13 formulas. V'loim Dimim Yisrael, they study with the Jewish people. U'metzamtzimin Chochmo Ilo Alidei Chochmo Tato. These rabbis take Hashem's infinite knowledge, Chochmo Ilo, and they bring it down, 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 and they form it into tiny little bite-sized pieces to be able to teach us, to be able to share with us. They bring it al-dei chochma tato, kedei lahasig elokusis baruch ha-idei zeh, so that we, the Jewish people, should be able to understand Hashem and relate to Hashem through these little bite-sized pieces that the rabbis give us, the word, the letters and the words and the sentences and the pages and the books, all of it. Shezeo bechina shiura da'asvan doiraisa. This is the concept of the measurements of the letters of the Torah, the shapes and forms. Shiura here means the shapes and forms of the different letters. Bechinas sarois, like the hairs on the head. Kimavur kol zeh b'maymar mishra de sakina. As all of this is explained very, very elaborately in chapter 30 in Likut Imran. V'zeh b'chinas oimer so'irim. This is the concept of this korban omer, which was from barley, just like the sotas korban, which was from barley. B'chinas shiura da'asvan doiraisa, because that represents the shapes and forms of the letter of the Torah. B'chinas v'oimer asira so'efahu. As the Pasuk says in Chumash, what is the Omer? The Omer is a measurement. Omer is a tenth of an Eifah. That's what Omer is. So we see that the Omer represented measurements, boundaries, like the Malchus, like Emunas Chachamim. That's what the rabbis are all about, putting fences around the Torah, setting boundaries, defining measurements. Shehu b'chinas malchus, b'chinas amunas chachamim, kayodua, as is known throughout the Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Chassidus. Vayidei ze nichna eish esov ish soir. And all of this, the oimer soirim, and the korban soirim of the soita, and the shiurin das von doiraisa, and the saaros of kedusha, the peyos and the beard, the holy hairs, all of that brings about the downfall and defeat of Esav, who is also called Ish Soir, Shehu Malchus HaRishor. That's the kingdom of evil. Pigam emunas chachamim kanal. V'alkein ha-korban mi-soirim daika. And this is why the korban that's brought with the sota is a mincha made from barley specifically. Shehu Michael Behema. The Gemara refers to that as a lower level grain. Wheat is for humans, barley is for animals. That doesn't mean humans don't ever eat barley, but it means it's a much lower level. Because this is what the tikkun of Emunas Chachamim is really all about. This is what the oral Torah is all about. Ki hachachamim oiskim tomid levarer ulesakein chet odom arishoin. The mission of all the rabbis and all the tzaddikim in all generations is to repair the sin of Adam Rishon al yedei bechinas Torah shebal peh kanal, through the oral Torah, as we learned earlier, because the sin of Adam Rishon was the sin of pagam emunas chachamim, that Chava chose to listen to the snake instead of listening to her husband, Rabbi Adam. The Medrash says, what did she call him? She didn't call him Honey Bunch Sweetheart. She called him Rebbe. He was the rabbi. He was her rabbi. He was the rabbi. And again, he told her exactly what Hashem had said. And she went ahead and listened to the other rabbi, Snake. And this is how we repair and fix the concept of behema. Lahalois mi behema l'odom. To elevate from animal to human. Because the Pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 49, when it describes the sin of Adam Rishon eating from the Eitz Hadas, the Pasuk says there, Adam Bikor Bal Yolin. Adam Rishon couldn't even spend the night in Gan Eden. They threw him out of the hotel. They didn't let him stay the entire night. Nimshal Ka Behemos Nidmu. Because they appeared like, they acted like behemoths. They didn't listen to Hashem. Because as a result of the sin of eating from Yetz Hadas, that was the wrong kind of eating. We spoke earlier about holy eating, which elevates a person, everything. When a person eats the wrong way, they say you're an animal, eating like an animal. That's behema. Whereas the great rabbis who teach us the oral Torah and repair this pigam, heim ma'alin u'mevarin mebehem al adam. They elevate and sort out the sparks of kedusha from behema, and elevate it, they convert from behema into adam. We'll hold it over here. Still have very important special stuff. V'alkein.